The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now is a huge Lakers fan, but we're not bringing him on necessarily to talk about the NBA or the Lakers or the Mavs. We're bringing him on because the Rangers just retired his number, the great Michael Young, the GOAT, joining the Ben and Skin Show right now. Michael, how you doing today, brother?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good to see you guys, or good to hear from you, actually.
Man, we are so stoked, so excited, and I got to be honest with you. So when the Adrian Beltre stuff started happening and all the excitement and the announcements of that, and we were kind of sitting around talking going, okay, good, well, his number will be retired with Michael's. And then we were like, wait, is Michael's retired? Wait, when Elvis jumped out in that clown mask and Michael almost knocked him out, did they retire his jersey? And we were like trying to, we're like, wait, it's not retired. And then it was like an outrage. We were like, they've got to retire his jersey. So look, we know you're not about hyping up yourself or your hard guy to compliment, but congratulations. Well-deserved, long overdue. All of Ranger Nation is stoked for you. How are you feeling about it?
Well, I appreciate you saying that, brother. And thanks for the kind words. You know, right now, I still haven't really wrapped my mind around it yet. You know, I know I was out there for AB's ceremony. I had a great time. It was obviously well-deserved for an incredible career. And, you know, I just really want to thank the Rangers organization for this incredibly humbling honor. You know, it's, like I said, difficult to kind of fathom right now. A lot of thank yous to give out, you know, family, friends, both here and back home in California. And to think about, this is kind of like the cherry on top for my baseball career. You know, this is really just a really, really cool honor, man. You know, for all the favorite teams that I grew up watching, I knew who their retired numbers were. And to think that I'm going to be one of those guys here with an organization that I care very deeply about is really an incredible honor.
What are the age ranges of your sons, Michael?
14, 9, and 6.
So the 14-year-old is very aware of what this means, right?
He is, yeah, he is. You know, he's... You know, the first time I told him, and all my boys too, it's I made a very concerted effort when I was playing to kind of like make sure that their life didn't revolve around my career. So any guy, you know, if you guys are ever in a clubhouse after a game, odds are you didn't see my kids because they were in bed probably around the third inning. They had their routines that I thought my wife and I thought we were going to make sure they stuck to. So, you know, they're aware of my career, and we talk about it occasionally. But it was never really the center of their life, which was kind of the goal in the first place. But yeah, they are. My 6-year-old, not so much. He could really care at this point. All he cares about is cooking camp right now. But my other two definitely understand it. I think they understand the significance of it, and they're pretty excited.
You know, I heard you at your press conference. You were talking about switching from number 2, and then you had picked number 10 as a homage to your buddy Vernon Wells and whatnot, and you like the way that looked. I want you to think back to the first time you put on number 10. Yeah. First time you put it on, imagine going back to Michael Young at that time and saying, hey, bro, no one is ever going to wear this number again because of the way you're about to play and the career you're about to have in it. What would you have thought at that moment?
I never really thought about it like that. That's actually a really cool way to think about this. I don't know. Man. This kind of the whole thing has hit me with just this whole different range of emotions. You know, when you put it like that, it's again, incredibly humbling to think back in that Port Charlotte, you know, spring training after my fifth bout getting bit by fire ants in that clubhouse. And then to put that on it, to get to this point, again, incredibly humbling. I thank the guys in the clubhouse, you know, who didn't give it out when I retired, and now here we are again. Not something I ever really thought about, considered, or you know, thought was gonna happen at any point. But now that it has, I'm incredibly thankful. There's just a ton of people to thank. You know, for me, when this something like this happens, it's an opportunity for me to think about the people who have had impacts on me, and that list is incredibly long.
Michael Young joining us on the Ben and Skin Show because the number 10 will not be worn again by any other Texas Ranger in the future. It is Michael's forever. So when all the talk started happening with Adrian and all that, I don't know how much you had been thinking about it or not been thinking about it, but When you found out, how did you find out? And did you kind of feel that it was happening, or did it completely take you by surprise?
No, it took me by surprise. I knew about Adrian's earlier in the season. They had me make the announcement in January at a team event, and I was very happy to do it. Obviously, an incredibly deserving player. Adrian's one of my favorite teammates of all time. Just an incredibly gifted baseball player, and I was, you know, thrilled to be a part of our great teams together. Had a great time with them, you know, still great friends to this day, and to be a part of that meant a lot. You know, I've said forever that, you know, I'd have left a lot of nerve to ask for more out of my career. You know, I'm very, very blessed to play as long as I did, considering I was kind of a late bloomer and didn't get to the big leagues until later than most. But to play for, you know, well past a decade in this for this team, to experience some really good times, again, it's very humbling. But we were JD and our and Kip Fagg and I went to a dinner together, and JD just dropped it on me. We're actually going to visit the house of one of the kids we were considering drafting, and just dropped it on me at dinner, and I was completely shocked. Didn't know what to say. I thought about my parents. I thought about people who had my family who had impacts on me, and just a ton of emotions, and I'm still that way. And I know I'm going to try and do what I can to enjoy this thing. I'm going to every emotion I have, I'm going to let it fly and kind of really sit back and try and enjoy this thing.
Man, I do now with, you know, all the kiddos I have running around my house. It's ridiculous. It's a whole payroll. But I look at everything through a parental lens, and I think your parents should go in with you into the Rangers Hall of Fame. I mean, good Lord, these are heroes. They just don't make them like you. And I do want to ask you about this. Throughout your career, and you're a leader in the clubhouse, a true leader of men. You always were accountable, always. Good times or bad, accountable. You played the game hard. You competed like crazy. And you were selfless. I mean, you had so many position changes. And I don't even know if you would advise somebody to go down that road. You were incredibly selfless in every way in that regard. And when you look back on the position changes, would you have done that the same way? Do you still like the way all that went? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I appreciate you saying, you know, again, thanks for those kind words, man. I mean, you know, interesting, like, my career kind of took a very unique path in that sense. You know, most guys who, when you're doing pretty well at a position, you kind of just stick around that spot and they let you just roll. You know, my natural position was second base, and to think that, you know, a 13, 14-year career, I played second base for three of them. So it's super odd and kind of bizarre, actually. And I spent all that time on the left side of the infield, and I think I thought I belonged on the right side. But having said that, I mean, there are times when I was playing, especially where I was like, you know, what would my career look like if I had stayed at that spot and I had a chance to really truly be like the two-way player I always envisioned myself being. But if I wouldn't have moved, I wouldn't have played with Alfonso Soriano and Ian Kinsler and Elvis and AB. That gave me the opportunity to play with those guys, and that means a lot to me. You know, anytime I think of my career, it's always usually within the team lens, and you know, that means a ton to me. And you know, people always ask about legacy, and I don't even really think about that. But if my legacy was that I played hard and I was a good teammate, then I'm super cool with that.
Do you just off the top of your head, how many different managers did you have in your time with the Rangers?
I'm thinking four. Johnny Oates, Jerry Nairn, Buck Showalter, Ron Washington.
Okay, if you were to say, go through each one, and just what is one thing that strikes you about them that you took for them, or an impact they had, or something like that, as you go through those four guys?
Oh, man, that's tough. Johnny was, you know, the first guy that was my manager when I got called up in 2000 as a young pup, and you know, my first big league game was under him. Jerry was the one who really kind of believed in me enough to make me an everyday second baseman in the big leagues. That meant a lot because at the time, my defense was keeping me in the big leagues. You know, I was still learning how to be a good big league hitter, and I hadn't got to that point yet. And Jerry was the one who really stuck by me and gave me the opportunity to develop offensively because they can lean on my defense a little bit. And then Buck, you know, slid me to shortstop. And one thing about Buck is that I think I played for Buck for about 4 years, and I might have had 3 days off that entire time. I loved that. Buck played me, and I loved it. So You know, that's probably the biggest thing that I guess I can say. And then, of course, Wash. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I can go on. We can do this whole thing about Ron Washington. So, you know, I was very, like I said, very blessed to have some great managers, both here and when I played in Philly and L.A., too. Got to play with some great ones, too, and that's not lost to me at all.
Michael, you know, your batting average for your career is right on the money. It's 300. And, I mean, I know you don't care about the stats and those types of things, but do you take special pride that it's not 299, that it is 300?
No, not really. Obviously, I prefer to start with a 3, definitely. but, you know, if I had decided to play my last year and continue my career, you know, when I retired, you know, I had, you know, guaranteed offers with a really good team in L.A. on the table. And if I had to continue to play, who knows? I mean, at 37, 38, 39 years old, maybe I'm not hitting 300 anymore. And if it would have slipped, it would have slipped. But, you know, I like to think the effort still would have been the same to try and be the hitter I'd always been.
Well, you did hit over 300 in your last season, by the way. And so the Adrian Beltre thing, that's awesome. The Josh Hamilton going to the Rangers Hall of Fame, this for you, this is awesome. And for us who have been Ranger fans our whole life, it really seems like there's an emphasis on the legacy program, which I think is incredibly necessary. What does it mean to you as a player to see the legacy program really, I don't know, blossoming for the Rangers?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for a relatively a new organization, I believe that Rangers came here in 72, which is incredibly young. I think we're at a point now where we're really starting to emphasize what, you know, the great players that have come through this organization. Well, we've had, we've made some significant strides, obviously, with where we want our organization to be. And that usually coincides with some individual success, too. And I think we're getting to a point now where we're starting to honor those guys appropriately. I'm looking forward to Josh's ceremony. It's well-deserved. He deserves every last bit of that. I'm going to be front and center for that one. And, you know, with my thing happening on August 31st, I think it's definitely shows a sign this team is stepping up efforts to honor our past as we kind of look to our future with a new ballpark and this really blossoming team.
Well, Michael, huge congrats from the Ben and Skin Show. You know that we love you, even KT. And
KT.
Love you, baby.
As we celebrate you today, you may want to tune back in at 4:20 because we're pretty sure the Lakers will have no problem getting a third max level guy if they want. So
I don't know, man. I mean, do you get the third? Do you get the third guy, or you spread it out a little bit?
There's nothing wrong with that philosophy either.
Yeah,
there's a lot of different ways to go. Hey, congratulations, man.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate you guys, man. Always.
There he goes.
All right.
Congratulations.
Number 10.
Woo!
Number 10.
What a beast, man! What an absolute beast.
Awesome dude. Always a great guest as well.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.